his light shine bright. Bad boy sitting pretty. Michael Steve Robb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Robb's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad Boy's a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
You are muted, homeboy. And I forgot to put my dang name up.
All right. Am I unmuted now?
You are decent, sir.
That is weird. This fucking thing, it mutes it when it goes into the video. And when we come out of these videos, it fucking keeps us muted. It's supposed to unmute it. What are we paying for? What are we paying for? I don't know, man. I don't know. Tariffs didn't change this thing.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm Rob Bosleri because I do all of my little bits and things here and I take my name off so it doesn't come in my final recording and I forgot to put it back up, but I'm Rob Bosleri. Might take a break and come back on so you can see my name, but nah, fuck it. Good enough.
Yeah, at Vegas Trump guy works too.
Yeah. That Vegas Trump guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we know who you are. Which is good. Which is a good thing. except the Raiders hat is really
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's our colors, right? It's our colors and right. But no, it's just like you know, I'm wearing this in support of WrestleMania 42.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which is coming up here next week. Las Vegas about to go absolutely insane. One of the biggest weeks of the year is here. WrestleMania is taking over the city, according to this one person who obviously was passing by the stadium on our freeway that moves really, really slow.
And you know what they're doing now? They usually they have that, I guess you could call that like a Titantron flashing different things. No, yeah. They have those WrestleMania pictures up there steady for about a good 20 minutes. They're like, just in case you forgot.
Oh, yeah. Please. Exactly. Well, the hype to WrestleMania. Boy, man, on SmackDown, we see Pat McAfee show up. Oh, yeah. Rub it into Cody. Okay, what the fuck is wrong with this? Because
here's what I'll say. I liked it. I liked it, but the fallout has been terrible. Like, nobody likes it. Nobody. I like the idea. The idea was, you guys look pathetic. You guys are all weak. Cody Rhodes is weak. Randy Orton is the last of the Attitude Era. And you got these 5'5 wrestlers coming out there. They look like a joke compared to what it used to be. And he was right. And they had this NWO feel with it. And I liked it. But this is my problem, the only problem I have is you took the last guy that anyone really liked out of the announce team, Pat McAfee, and you did this to him.
No. Wait. Hold on. See, now this is the misconception. He wasn't taken out of it. He didn't.
No, I know. He had other responsibilities, but this
it's not
is
even the other responsibilities. He was pretty much done with this. Yeah. It seems that, and this is. We'll get to Punk here in a second. This is what Punk's point was, is that it seems like Ari decided to get involved and step in and get his boy on WrestleMania. And this was the way to get him involved because I don't think Pat, I would be pretty shocked if Pat gets back on a microphone for them.
Now, here's the thing. Was he the best color commentator? No, his knowledge in the sport is piss poor. But his entertainment factor with Michael Cole is great. That's why Corey Graves is pissed. Corey Graves is like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be groomed to be the next Michael Cole, and you bounce me from some guy you pulled off the street because his numbers are good in another arena. I get it all. I didn't like him at first, but he grew on me because he's got that infectious personality. This said now, I think they what they're trying to do is go, you know, if you're not going to come back, we're going to have you leave as a heel.
Well, no, I think it goes deeper than that. I think that in the corner of Cody, you're going to have Jelly Roll.
And yeah.
Of Randy, you're going to have McAfee. And that's, you know, that's what this is. It's to give a different flavor to Randy, right? And the main thing that people are pissed about is the fact that he's not a wrestler. And this is something that is now becoming a huge, huge thing with not the general public who watch wrestling, but once again, the crybaby marks. Well, this isn't wrestling. This is just, he's just coming in when you've got the other company bringing in the boom guys because they can't get actual fucking talent onto that show. So, you know, it's like, it's sports entertainment regardless what company you're talking about. It's just that this company uses it for, I don't know, WrestleMania, the show that was born out of fucking celebrities being involved. So go fuck yourselves. Simple. You don't like it? Fucking stop watching.
And you know what? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with what you said there. I have nothing wrong with anything that you said. I really don't. I look at it like this. People are getting tired of them going to the well outside of their talent. And Pat McAfee did bring up a good point. The quality of the wrestlers in many ways, it doesn't look the same. And are those guys better performers and safer performers? Absolutely. I mean, those chair shots, what they did, you had strings of Chris Benoit's and Eddie Guerrero's out there working themselves to death and others. And I get all of that. I appreciate the evolution of what they came to so they can entertain people and come out alive. And that is more important than anything else. That said, when you go, all right, we're going to go from that to now pulling in anybody off the street with good following. This is what happens in comedy. In comedy, they go, are you funny? No.
But
is he funny? No. What are his followers?
But
sometimes that can work. Sometimes it doesn't. Not everyone's going to be a Logan Paul.
Right. But Logan Paul is actually a full-timer. Right.
Well, that's what I said. But he wasn't, when he came out, he was another guy they dragged off the street because he had followers. And he turned out to be a good wrestler.
And what has their track record been so far with all those people? The only one who has not been any type of effect at all is Travis Scott. That's it. Jelly Roll.
I Show Speed, Jelly Roll, and Bad Bunny. With Bad Bunny, they used him twice. And I hope they don't go to I hope that they don't go to the well too many times with Jelly Roll. Unless you're going to make him some sort of Captain Lou Albano, where he just comes out and he's in somebody's corner as a valet.
Well, see, but that's the whole thing here, right? Pat McAfee's not taking anyone's spot. Jelly Roll's not taking anyone's spot, right? They're just in the corner. Now, Speed, okay, you can have an argument there that this guy's getting an opportunity to wrestle.
Yeah, they got him in a triple in a triple tag team type scenario. Right. And he's not a scrappy guy. The guy's got, he's bigger than Austin Theory. So
I don't know about
not as tall.
Yeah,
not as
I mean,
tall.
Look
he's
at
a little taller. Yeah, he's a little taller. He's not as physically, but he's not weak either.
Yeah, no, of course not. And again, celebrity matches have been something that WrestleMania has had for years, going back to the fucking beginning of it. And again, speaking of those guys, look at these motherfuckers. Coolest tag champs ever.
And you know what? I like them with the belts because they deserve it. They needed to have something going on. They deserve it. the vision with them at the helm is not necessarily bad, but the vision with them at the helm is less Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has been kind of shuffled over to Brock Lesnar more.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to, and that's fine. And again, this whole scenario also allows it create an opportunity where now LA Knight gets a spot, right? He's on the show because of this. Speaking of LA Knight, how about this? Eli Knight, who you know, was recently signed to NXT, his name has been changed to EK Prosper due to the similarities with LA Knight, which makes a lot of sense.
Good, you know, him. That's fine. If he could figure out, if he can figure out how to be successful, God bless him.
Yeah,
because well, okay. Yeah, I mean Eli Knight, Eli Drake, they're shuffling around these names. I mean, shit, call himself Elijah Knight. Who yeah, wants no. to walk with Elijah Knight?
No.
That's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. The good thing is they're not changing LA Knight's name. So
that's well, good. Here's the thing. LA Knight, I'm glad he's in WrestleMania, but he's what the fuck, man? This is a guy who I don't know what he's like backstage, Ricker, but to me, he's done everything right, and they keep kicking him in the ass over and over again.
But that's the thing. The thing is, again, when you look at it, the difference between the two major companies is that your top stars in WWE, it's always been like this. Always. Hogan had a run at that beginning for fucking 5 years.
Yeah, right? I was just about to say. Like, right, like what was it, like 19?
It was 84 to 89.
Yeah.
Or 88, I'm sorry, 88.
Right, 88, so, and then finally the Ultimate Warrior.
No, not all, it was Savage.
Oh, it was Razor.
They vacated the belt, and Savage had the belt, and then they did the Mega Powers, and Hogan got it back. And then when Hogan got the belt back, that's when they set up the next year, set up to the Warrior. And then when the Warrior couldn't handle it, that's when they jumped it to Slaughter, and Hogan got it back again at WrestleMania 7. So,
yeah.
And honestly, then WrestleMania 8 was the quote unquote retirement match. WrestleMania 9 was that comeback where he won it from Yokozuna after Bret's match. And by SummerSlam, he lost it to Yokozuna, and he was out. So from 84 until 1993, you know, it was primarily dominated. Yeah.
Hogan.
Primarily dominated.
And the thing is, I think WWE wanted to do that again with John Cena. They wanted to do that with Brock Lesnar. They had a person. They pinned a belt to him and said, you go out there.
They did it with
Triple H, too. Degree.
They did it with Brett first, and Brett was that guy, and then they did it with Sean, and then they did it with Austin and The Rock, and then
The Rock, when I was watching, I started watching full time during the Attitude Era, like many people, and I remember often that The Rock and Stone Cold did not hold the belt. They were always chasing Triple H for the belt, and occasionally. But Triple H held the belt a significant amount of time for months on end. Absolutely.
The only time that Triple H started excelling as The Rock was transitioning into Hollywood and Austin's neck was getting worse. That's what was going on. But from that time, Austin would have held that belt, and it would have been Austin and The Rock flipping that belt.
Which would have been great. Which would have been. Years.
Yeah. In fact, you know, to have three WrestleMania matches between them in that short period of time between 99 and 2002 or 2003, that, I mean, that's crazy.
So what are we talking now as far as WrestleMania? Are we jumping right into WrestleMania? Or
we got this guy.
Yeah, and he dropped another pipe bomb. Yeah. I would say a weaker one, but it was still a pipe bomb.
Well,
lower the ticket sales. If you're going to put Pat McAfee on the show, lower the ticket sales.
Pat McAfee. Whipped,
armed, no-brained hillbilly. You want to talk about ticket sales? Call up the agent that shoehorned you into this product and tell them to lower the ticket prices. Woo!
Right. Well, and then McAfee shot back on his show. CM Punk last night called me Pat McAfee. And then he would lay out why he is not worth the price of admission to WrestleMania. Lower the prices now. I'm not worth that much.
You know, that's kind of smart when you think about it. He's not.
And this is the thing. This is the thing. People get all upset. Whoa, he's not a wrestler, blah, 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 blah. That is fucking golden. Like, that is setting up your feud. That is adding fuel to the fire, because now you have your main event calling out your co-main event guy. You know, it just sets up.
Well, now, business. Hold on now. Let me
get the internet talking.
Their night one main event, right? That CM Punk match is night one.
No, the CM Punk reign should be night two.
You're putting Cody night one?
Cody Randy?
Also night
two? If you're going to put a title on each, yeah, Cody Randy's night one. Punk and Reigns is the fucking... Punk and Reigns was the only image they were showing out here for about a week before this... this past few days.
When I was driving down the 15 and passing Allegiant, it was Cody and Orton that I saw.
That did not start until a few days ago. For the first week when they started putting those images up, it was just Reigns and Punk on every Allegiant and every
maybe on the billboards, but Allegiant I saw a while back. At the end of the day, I think what they're doing and intelligently, I'll give them credit, they're seeing which way the tides are going as to which match is more important. I think that's a fair assessment, because they were levying heavy on Cody, and now the Reigns one is more interesting because Punk made it more interesting. Reigns is doing the best mic work he's ever done ever. Yeah. He's gotten better and better on the mic. But I still feel that these are two old men fighting. When I think of Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, I think of Randy Orton is a veteran, but I don't think of him as old. I don't think of him as old. I know he is. I know he's the oldest of those four wrestlers, so to speak. But I don't mentally look at him that way. I look at him as this fucking brick shit house of a guy that towers over everybody else and has the physique of somebody from the Attitude Era.
Roman Reigns looks like a little boy next to Randy Orton. Come on, get the fuck out of here.
Roman Reigns does not have the same physique, doesn't have the same strength. He looks a lot older. He's running around with a pepper gray beard. So is Randy, so is CM Punk. CM Punk and Roman Reigns look old.
Right. CM Punk and Roman Reigns sell tickets in terms of the difference between, you know, Randy Orton has never been the pinnacle of the business, right? He's always been someone who has been in the title picture, but has never been trusted to really take the company because he's had his issues and he's had his injuries.
He's one like he's either injured or he said something bad backstage and fucking created some drama. I can appreciate that. If you yank out Bloodline Roman Reigns, you've got a long ass mediocre career. Now he's finally brought it together. I wish we could have had this level of Roman Reigns skill on the mic and crowd mastery 7 seasons earlier. I wish it was a lot earlier that he figured it out, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, again, you want to compare stand-up comedy. The fact of the matter is that the guy was good, but it took something else to elevate that career, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And that, you know, it happens in all types of entertainment. So
I understand that. I want to see them pull. I want to see them use this as a cocoon moment to transform whatever the hell they got going on here with the cousins, the Usos, into something new.
Fuck it. Who cares? Who cares about that? Who fucking cares? Seriously. Let's go back to the bloodline. And then that's exactly what the internet will be fucking saying. Oh, they're just fucking doing what this.
Who do you give the belt to? Do you keep the belt on CM Punk?
I personally would, but okay. I don't see how they don't put it back on Roman, because Roman is the darling, right? And if he's good to go in terms of health-wise and schedule-wise, then, you know, Punk is one of those guys who, again, he's already set it up. He's already set it up, right? You could put Punk versus Pat McAfee on fucking SummerSlam. You know, he doesn't.
Oh, that would be backlash. That would be backlash if you do.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The options are there. He doesn't need the title per se.
Sure.
And he's, you know, like I said, if they're doing night two, which they should be, that's finally his WrestleMania main event of the biggest show. So, you know, and again, it's fascinating. There's great fucking dialogue between it. It's keeping everything, you know, momentum going, and that's great. Okay. Then we have this. Rey Mysterio is now in that six-man ladder match for the IC belt. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
I saw this.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. This guy was basically looked at as being out. He's no good. He was out last year. And if you look at that lineup, it's the one thing they were missing. Was a veteran guy
who is
at that level to work those guys. You got Rusev in there as, you know, the muscle guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Javon Evans, who is going to do something fucking stupid.
Yeah, he's going to have a spot. He's going to have a big spot. I don't know what's going to be. Some 450 splash off the top of a ladder into another person, into a ladder, into a table.
I don't know. You're talking about doing something off the top of Allegiant. That, you know, there's one guy who could probably do it.
Yeah.
But it gives a great, you know, this ladder match is going to be something where I think these guys are really going to set out to fucking go hardcore on it.
I look at Rey Mysterio being in this in the same way that you had Becky at War Games, where she was kind of calling spots and making sure that it was safe, but still everyone's hitting their mark.
Honestly, I look at it a little bit even more cynically, and very well could be Rey's last WrestleMania match, depending on his health. He's at that point now where there's no telling if he's going to have another one. So he gets cleared, and they're like, cool, let's catch you in. Plus, he's helping Penta out, man, and Dragon Lee. You know, these guys are friends. And
Penta's there, but I feel like they haven't let him be full Penta. He's like 90% there.
I don't know what full Penta is, dude. We've never really seen it.
I'm talking about the slaps at the chest with the gloves, the duel, the long walkouts, the whole long drawn out thing. Once in a while, just milk it a little bit. Have some showmanship from him, which they're keeping him. They're rushing him in and on and off the stage. They're rushing him when we see him. It's not the full experience. That's all. And also, Lucha Brothers, eventually they're going to have to pull the trigger on that.
Well, they will, but, you know, is it necessary right now? I don't think so. So, you know, we'll see. All right. So then we got these two big motherfuckers.
Meat.
Jesus, man. I mean,
fuck around and five out F5.
Fucking Brock's face on that. How come he's got the mouth that looks like should be the one?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's getting a ride of his life.
It looks like a, you know, a gummer.
Those legs are kicking out straight, my man.
It comes down to it. This is the moment Obafemi gets made.
Yes, absolutely. Brock Lesnar needs to have a mid-match, little extra gas in the tank moment, but ultimately he needs to pass the torch on.
Yeah.
I've got nothing much to say about this. To me, this is open and shut. Versus almost, Obafemi has enough mic skills to carry himself forward. He has enough charisma and swagger. That walk down the ring, even as silly as it is, it does work. It connects with the crowd, and that's what you need. That's the kind of stuff that Omos really never had. And they did him a service by putting him through NXT and not making him a fucking bouncer at an underground fight club.
Yeah, but almost too big, too tall, too lean, and just not the same thing that Obafemi is.
He didn't have the physique or the charisma or the mic skill.
No, and that was the thing against Obafemi when he first came into NXT, was is he going to be able to talk? And he has proven he doesn't need a mouthpiece. So, great. This is, again, this is where you're looking at the guys they're building for the future.
What I like about him real quick is he knows enough that if he can let the other guy talk like he did with Kit, he just let him talk, and his facial reactions were just hysterical. He knows how to emote. Very good.
Yeah, of course. Of course, WrestleMania is WrestleMania Housen.
Brilliant. I can punch him in the groin right now and give me all your human monies. Yes.
Good old punching CM Punk in the balls. But this was probably the best CM Punk posted this on April 1st. Danhausen has been announced for the final inductee for WWE Hall of Fame class of 2026.
That picture, I mean, it's what the fuck? It looks like CM Punk in Danhausen's face paint.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hysterical. I mean, again, great shit to see.
And by the way, they don't have to put a 24/7 belt on him. It would be nice if they gave him something down the road, but they're just using him correctly.
Yeah, that's it. And again, my biggest complaint with AEW is sit at home. Don't even come to the shows. We have nothing for you. And this is what those motherfucking fans complain about constantly about the WWE. Oh, they don't use so-and-so.
I was going to say, they're not using Royce Keyes. They got him on dark matches before the show begins. So there are people that they shelf.
Well, that's not necessarily shelving. That's
You don't have him in NXT. And you're putting him on.
Yeah, because he's above NXT. They're probably paying him at a rate that he's not going to be in NXT. The thing is that they've probably seen his work, and realize they have to season him a little bit, right?
I get that.
That's all. And you'll see, eventually he will work in. Plus, what were we just talking about? The whole idea of, they don't use this person, they don't use that person. Well, the fact of the matter is that we really haven't been introduced to him other than at the Rumble, right? So if you see him on the main event, how many people fucking watch that shit?
My thing with him is they interviewed him. They did a bunch of interviews.
Yeah.
And the interviews reminded me of when Bobby Lashley was doing a face turn and they interviewed him about being a veteran. and they tried to give these babyface interviews. And I'm like, I don't want to see him interviewed like this. I want to see him kick the shit out of somebody. Just kick the shit out of somebody.
That had nothing to do with the character.
No, he doesn't have a character right now.
Yeah, these are podcasts, though.
Well, they advertised it. They advertised it. And when they advertise it, it's, you know,
it's podcast. They need it's still a fucking podcast. It's their podcast. He was on Stephanie McMahon's show. That is giving him the exposure. Again, the same thing. You bitched about Jade. Oh, well, they're using her on the thing. Why did they send her back to NXT? Well, here's a situation where I didn't bitch about that.
I knew what they were doing. They sent her to all three shows. They tested the water with her. They saw the fan reaction. They pulled the trigger.
You bitched about that. If they're going to put her on the show and run into Charlotte Flair, then they should fucking use her.
I was right. And I was right because and they did it. Because if you were telling me that she was at that level that you could put her on a screen with Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, then you're telling me, you are indicating to me that she's ready for main roster. They put her on main roster. She wasn't ready. Now
they didn't put her on main roster. She went to NXT.
The fuck? Yeah, she went and sat on a throne for like one episode.
No, she was in NXT for a little while before they integrated her in.
I honestly don't remember because you don't watch it.
Number one,
they never brought it up. And number two, it was a blip. They paired her up with Bianca Belair as soon as they probably humanly could.
Once she was ready. Once they were ready to use her. But
now, see, yeah, now I'm going to call you out. That's the opposite of what you said. You said, oh, no, she's not ready.
Right.
Oh.
I know. And I was right. Because she wasn't ready.
And I agreed with you.
She wasn't ready that whole fucking first year she was on the main roster.
You know what it was? I think that the tag using her in a tag format was a good way to, in theory, integrate her to the audiences and using Bianca Belair as a jumping point for her. But the pacing was too hectic for her. The tag pacing was way too hectic.
Yeah, just everything was. It was overwhelming. She didn't know what the fuck she was doing because she was in a company that didn't have any fucking regard for those wrestlers who weren't fucking fully trained. And
they were giving her laid out matches to win. They gave her six. They had her fucking beat up Red Velvet like 1,000 times.
Right.
You know, when she was tagging with Bianca Belair, I remember she did this. She was on main camera and hard camera and she went, and you could see Bianca Belair goes, the fuck are you doing? Get back over here.
Yeah.
And she was just trying to cut. She didn't know where she was. Bionic Skook says Jade wrestled in the PC, but not much on NXT TV.
Right. She was down in NXT.
But not on NXT TV at all, really. That's what I'm talking about. Because WWE has no problem pushing NXT and saying, hey, Jade Cargill premiered at NXT and beat so-and-so. I don't even remember that.
Right. But who fucking cares? Again, it comes down to the fact that Hobbs had more fucking experience in training than her. He's not ready to fucking go. You know, they're not ready to put him on the main shows yet. And probably has a lot to do with a couple of reasons. One being it's WrestleMania season. Get past that. Sure. And you're probably... Sure. See him on SmackDown or Monday. Fucking Monday Night Raw. Or also typically once this season passes, we see cuts, and once cuts happen, then you see some roster, you know, spots open where you can expose people. Okay, look at NXT. Speaking of, we got a new women's champion in Lola Vice, and we got a new NXT champion in Tony D'Angelo. These two motherfuckers have worked their asses off to get to these opportunities, and it's great to see. Tony D'Angelo is a totally different animal than the Don character. This is working towards his favor right now.
Wasn't he in AEW briefly? Tony D'Angelo, I'm trying to... I don't think so.
I think he was in NXT before AEW even started. And Lola Vice, I mean, she's fucking worked her ass off to get to where she is. Great to see. Stand and Deliver was a solid show. You got a really nice opportunity for Orton's kid to get a chance to wrestle Johnny Gargano, and Johnny made him look like $1 million. Sol Ruka going over on Zarya. That was just, again, good storytelling.
Do we get her on main roster this year, Sol Ruka?
I don't see how they couldn't. Again, and I think that you might see, you know, that happen because, you know, I love when you see like Meekin and Cardi B or whatever the fuck her Fab Five Freddy or whatever the fuck her name is. They're getting this weird opportunity to be pushed with Jade. And to me, that always equals that those two are getting cut once the cutting season comes. They're very expendable. So I think you might see something like that where you get some of these names cut. And then, yeah, someone like Sol Ruka gets moved up. So that's what we're looking at.
Okay. All right. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, then we got this in Winnipeg.
That was a response.
Yeah, I wonder fucking why.
I know he's a hometown home court advantage. He had to milk it a little bit, like the picture shows. He did the Hulkster thing a little bit, trying to squeeze the crowd for some pops. But I was happy, and I was happy to see how he came out. He came out to, you know, his regular AEW theme. He had the people singing to, you know, Judas.
Including his dad.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Irvine. Hey, look, I liked it. I was happy. Wrestling should make me happy. An entrance like that after a few months away should make me happy, and it did.
Yeah. And we will... apparently tomorrow night, find out on Dynamite. He'll address his return live. But in the meantime, it's under assumption by a number of people that the reason that he's back is to finish his obligations of dates, because Tony is holding him to those dates.
Yeah.
Well, that he took time off. So therefore, those dates need to be, you know, this is exactly, again, AEW fans. Oh, well, you know, Vince would do this and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, he won't let them out of their contract. He shouldn't.
You know what? I look at it like this. He came out to a big pop. That's good. There might be a storyline for him. Maybe a belt, a mid-title belt. Fuck it. His physique is good for his age. Fuck it. Why not? Let's do it. Let's get a year out of them.
If you have a year, that's
whatever you have, get it out of him. Have a good storyline. See where he falls. He has beef with the Don Callis family. Last we checked, he might have beef with the Ops, although they're pretty much gone right now. There's a lot of different ways you can go with this, where you can insert him into something. So
What would you insert him into, you sexy minx?
Oh my god, it's Chris Jericho. I want to feel his Y2J.
That's pretty Y2 gay. Break those walls down, bitch.
You know what? I want to be on his list.
Oh, I'm sure you guys would be the best of friends.
Oh wow. Are we going to go to a friendship celebration together?
Oh yeah, and you're going to get the learning tree. Oh yeah.
Damn it, you got it. Now, you know what though? With the two of you together, you'll get to take off both your belts.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
He's two belts, Chris Jericho.
Oh yeah. Two belts in and Put me in those walls, Mr. Jericho. Yee!
Hey, you're the lion and he's going to tame you.
Oh, yes. Oh. Oh, man. Oh.
He's going to break your walls down.
Yeah, he is the master of a million holds. Woo!
And guess what? I hear it's all really fuzzy down below.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Okay, so on the same show, Dynamite.
He's going to give you the Ocho. Excuse me, Bionic Scoop. That's the Nueve. And your ass will never be the same again.
One of the clearest chants you'll ever hear. Fans at AEW Dynamite Wednesday night at the bout in Winnipeg between MJF and French-Canadian wrestler Mike Bailey broke out in a booming Fuck the Tariffs chant. The match took place the night before the first anniversary of President Trump's Liberation Day tariffs. MJF revived his American hero gimmick for the fight, and his over-the-top displays of U.S. patriotism elicited loud boos from the Canadian crowd. AEW Dynamite program is no stranger to anti-Trump rhetoric in infiltrating its events. February fans at Las Vegas fight between MJF and Brody King broke out in a Fuck ICE chant. King is a vocal anti-ICE advocate. I think
Loki MJF must be as well, because he knows how to milk that Fuck America obnoxious over the top patriot, you know, gimmick. MJF is really one of the best champions right now in modern wrestling, in my opinion. He's got moves in ring, and his mic skill and his ability to master a crowd and do crowd work is just next to none. There's nobody in WWE on the mic as good as MJF right now, bar none.
I don't know. I just heard a pipe bomb. So
that's the thing. Those come few and far between.
Right. Because that's not essentially how they program. You know, the idea with MJF is Tony goes, here you go, here's a mic. That's it. You know, so MJF gets away with a lot of this shit because he lives the character 24/7 too.
And I like shoots. I'd rather it be a 50-50 shoot, right? You know, I want to see the guy be able to go from the hip and give me something right from the gut versus super duper polished. That's why when he was going up against CM Punk, and CM Punk said that one time, I don't know if you're being real with me right now. That was brilliant, because the whole audience is sitting on the edge of the seat going, wait, I'm thinking like CM Punk is thinking. When you put those two together on the mic and MJF was doing the Jew boy routine where they were throwing quarters at him, I was like, God, this is so fucking real. Right. This feels so real. I loved it.
But I
can't go there all the time, though. I get that.
Well, see, that's it. And the thing is that you also have to have the right person to translate it with. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you fucking put Hangman Page in the fucking ring with MJF and Hangman looks like a fucking moron. So
This is true.
Yeah. You have to watch out for it, but good stuff. And thank God Canadian crowds just go with that shit. That's always fun. Okay, AEW pay-per-view is no longer being offered through Triller TV, as Triller TV is about to fucking go belly up or be sold or whatever. They are so fucked. You have a number of ways to watch it. Of course,
Prime Video
Max, but Prime Video. Yeah, but again, you got to pay for all this shit.
So. Yeah, that's one of those. Yeah, you get on. In fact, I remember that you go on a Prime, and then you got to pay like $50 anyway, even though you have Prime.
Right, because it's a fucking pay per view still. So, I mean, does it really even fucking matter that Triller is gone? Because, you know, when Fight TV, you know, brought that in, that was a big thing. But what ended up happening is they were losing money. They were not paying out. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were making, you know, X amount of money off of these pay-per-views. And then all the little companies were not seeing their cuts for what they were making on, you know, the sales and shit. So it just, it became disastrous. You know, the Cage Match Network, or Title Match Network, is a good little thing right now. But yeah, exactly. Scoop says it right. Driller owes people money, which is no surprise. So does it even matter that Driller is going under?
I never used a Driller unless, you know, I'm watching in Steve's house or one of my other buddies' houses where they've already paid them, you know, the pay-per-view money. So to me, it's, now I know, I think it wasn't FSW on Driller.
Was
FSW on Driller?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they were. Most of the independent companies who had some kind of product you could put on TV were. The biggest one was GCW. GCW really was, you know, one of the things that was helping Triller. So
the one that I tried to get into was MLW, and the problem was when I was watching it, immediately it was MJF cutting a promo, and he was clearly much younger, and I went, oh God, this is 2 years backdated. I couldn't immediately figure out how to find its current programming, and I got frustrated a little too quickly, I might say. I do like the stuff coming out of GCW and MLW. I want to have a venue by which to watch it, but I'll be honest, I barely even get enough time to watch TNA. And I have access to TNA through DirecTV. And when I do watch it, I'm never disappointed. I'm just, you know, it's life and you pick and choose. But right now, if you do not want to watch the two big boys, go tune on TNA and be really happy with what they're doing right now.
Sure.
Really happy. Yeah. I mean, they're doing some great work right now.
Yeah. No. And that's the thing, you know, the whole idea of this TNA and NXT relationship has really helped TNA up their game. Very simple. Some really good stuff coming out of there, you know.
And their seats, they're getting the seats. They're getting audiences that don't look like they just gone to Sam's Town, and they're just spinning the camera around for three rows deep. I'm happy to see them succeeding, and they're backing it up with great programming and great wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, you know, again, you'll see a number of talent from all these companies out here WrestleMania week. Kenny Omega wears gear homaging his new kitty Dobby to team with Jack Perry and Brody King against The Demand. I just found that awesome. Look at that paw print on his ass. The Omega symbol with the paw print.
Yeah, I love it.
Wonderful. All right. And then finally, in some news, Alberto Del Rio arrested on domestic violence charges. I don't know, man. How many opportunities can one guy get before you go, yeah, you might not be a good person?
I mean, you know, you see him, and who's the other? Shia LaBeouf is another one. Shia LaBeouf was recorded in Italy throwing a fight and having a fit, a little temper tantrum. And I'm going, you know what? You remember when you were closing and they said rap on that last Transformers movie? And you're thinking, wow, the sky's the limit. I just did my third Transformers movie. Now I'm in a parking lot in Italy yelling at somebody. Alberto Del Rio with his ring announcer, and he's coming out like Eddie Guerrero. Oh, look at that. Hey, he's going to marry Paige. Hey. 7 years later. And I get it. There are downs. But Fucking figure out a lane. Figure out your best possible lane. Work it. Get paid. You're not a bad wrestler. You're entertaining in the ring. And people did not want you to lose to Vikingo. So you have a crowd following, but this doesn't work. I don't know what it is, but figure it out.
Yeah.
Get some help. Get some therapy. Get some help. Do something to get yourself back on track.
Yeah. All right. Do we have some words of wisdom from...
You know, thank God you get rid of Rob. It's so sad what they did with Alberto Del Rio. You know, I know we should have deported this guy a long time ago. I said it. We got to deport this guy. This guy is a threat to national security. And then I called the Queen of England. I called the Queen of England. And I said, excuse me, Your Almost Majesty. We got to get rid of this guy. You got to kick him out of England. Little England, you got to kick him out. He's trying to soil one of your people. What do they call them? Subjects. Subjects. He's trying to fill her with his very illegal Mexican seed. You don't want those seeds crossing the border, because once those seeds cross the border, you take them into the United Kingdom, and then you can't get rid of them. And you know what? I think they have that. They don't have birthright citizenship there. They were smart. They don't have birthright citizenship. They would have gotten rid of that little Mexican wanker so fast. They would have sent them back to Del Rio. Back to the Rio. Faster than you could say blimey. They like that blimey. What does blimey even mean? What does blimey even mean? And by the way, you know, if you bomb these people, these Del Rios, if you bomb these Del Rios, or excuse me, because they're very smart. You know, people forget how smart he is. Al Patrones. He was also Alberto Al Patron and Alberto VO5. And he was Alberto VO5 in the 80s when he started wrestling. And then he became Del Rio, because that's what they sent him to. They wouldn't let him cross back in to the United States. And because of Obama... Obama cut a deal with Vince McMahon, and Obama said, I want to see the Mexican wrestle. You know, you didn't know I could do Obama. He goes, I want to see that Mexican boy wrestle. So they let him in, and he did a terrible job. He did a horrible job. He was a shitty, very shitty Timu level, Timu Eddie Guerrero. And they're like, oh, but Donald, he's taller. He's taller than Eddie Guerrero. That's got to be count for something. Donald, he's banging the British chick. Excuse me. He was banging the British chick because I called Obama and I said, if you let him touch one of the Americans, it's going to be a domestic dispute. And what happened? A domestic dispute, okay? And there was nothing domestic about it. By the way, there was nothing domestic about it because he's part of Tren de Aragua, okay? Alberto Al Patron Del Rio VO5 is part of Tren de Aragua, and he is not allowed in this country, okay? That's why when they were calling Triple H, he said, H called me, okay? Hunter, Hurst, Helmsley, Van Leeuwen, Levesque called me, and he goes, Donald, I could do him too. We're thinking about having him go from Triple A back to the main roster. I said, that'd be a mistake. That's going to be a big mistake. Don't let that happen, okay? Don't let him get back into the country, because once Del Rio's come into the country, they never leave. They'll mix in with the people, and you'll never see him again. You'll see him on Monday night, and then he'll disappear into the crowds. You don't know where he came from. You don't know where he's going, okay? On Monday, he's going to be a wrestler. On Tuesday, he's going to be putting up drywall.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
And it's really sad, you know. It's really sad what happens. Think about that now. On Monday, he's going to be doing. I don't even know. Does anyone even remember what his moves are? What is it? What is his finisher? You know, swim across the turnbuckle. What's his finisher? And then the next day,
I believe it's the wife beater.
And you know what? I'm glad. You know, and that's not me saying this. That's Matt Michaels. Hashtag Matt Michaels saying this. I didn't say that. Now, I was thinking it. A lot of people were thinking and a lot of people are saying it. That's the wife beater. Okay. All right. It's a modified tombstone pile driver, except her head's facing the other direction. And it's so sad that they allow this. And I called Paul. I have a great relationship with Paul Levesque. We have a tremendous relationship with his mother, who's doing a fantastic job. Linda McMahon, she's doing a fantastic job. Honor, you know what? Once we get rid of once we win the elections, which we're going to win at numbers that many are saying are like never before seen. These are numbers that no one's ever thought were possible. And once we take care of the lame leftist problem the Democrats are destroying this country. Once we get rid of the Democrats, then Linda McMahon will have a free pathway to destroy the Department of Education and roll it into the ICE budget. It's got to be rolled into the Department of Homeland Security, where we can arm the teachers. Okay, we have to arm the teachers, and we're looking into stun guns and maybe 9mm and 45 cals for the kindergarten K through 12 teachers. And then we can work at making the WWE American again. We have to have these guys with proof of citizenship, a stool sample, blood workup, and they have to be able to say the alphabet backwards and forwards. Okay. If they say NY or LA, they're gone. Okay. And if they have, we're looking for tattoos. Okay. Because you know what? I like the, what do they call the Lucha Brothers? But isn't it funny that one of the Lucha Brothers has six pack abs and wears a full costume? That's because he's covering up his MS-13 tattoos. Okay. And a lot of people are saying that. That's why Pentagon, he used to be Pentagon Jr. Okay. And then they were like, oh, wow, this guy's satanic. He's a satanic wrestler. Okay. His father was Pentagon Senior, okay, Senor Pentagon Senior, and we're not talking about Pentagon like Pete Hegseth, our great, who's doing, by the way, a really good job over there in the Department of War. Remember, Raw is War. They don't call it War. They don't call it Raw is Defense. You see how fucking terrible that sounds. It's fucking lame what they did. Imagine if you tuned in Monday night and you heard Raw is Defense. You wouldn't watch it if it was called Raw is Defense. You would watch it because it's called Raw is War. That's it was called Raw is War, and I was proud to be at Raw is War. I beat the shit out of Paul. In fact, I beat him so good, he became a right-wing guy. I turned him around. He used to be a liberal with D-Generation X. You remember, he was a liberal with D-Generation X. And then I turned his whole career around, and he dumped the man, and then he got the boss's wife. Remember, he was dating a man, okay? He was dating a man, okay? And then I told him, like, Paul, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, you're dating a man. Get rid of the man, okay? Get rid of that zero and get yourself a billionaire hero. And he put the seed inside Stephanie McMahon, and he made her Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. Nobody about him. He gave her the seed. He's got the genetic grapefruits. I don't know what that. Yeah, that was in Saudi. That was coming out of China. And by the way, you know, she had a big China. Believe it. I know. Shots fired. Well, lots of shots were fired. You know how sad that has to be for Xbox to get the sloppy seconds. Get the D-Generation X sloppy seconds. Like, I hope he took a hose to that thing, because you don't want to. I mean, I know Triple H is the boss, but you don't want to be tasting the boss. You know what I mean? You don't want to taste that. You don't want to taste that. And I hope he didn't go to the back door. I hope he didn't go to the back door, because you know what? Walt, he didn't want to taste X-Pac. I mean, X-Pac. You know, Shywalt, but he didn't want to, you know, taste HBK at the back door either, you know? It's really sad what happens. And I'm so glad that they deported Alberto VO5 Del Rio Al Patron.
Okay, a little time for a social media dump. Jesus, talk about
it. What happened? I took a dump. I don't know.
We allowed a rambling old comedian on the show.
It's horrible. Well, I mean, that's what you get when you get Donald Trump. I mean, this is the guy running the whole country. You got to remember that. This guy's running everything.
Oh, man. Here was a quote from a couple weeks back from Dave Meltzer. This is the worst gimmick El Grande Americano ever in WWE history. Yeah, sure, he's over in Mexico, maybe even over America. And people are demanding more of him, but it's just not working. What?
The more I hear Dave Meltzer, this is my question. How is he relevant in his field?
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
And who is that saying, dude?
That's Brian Alvarez.
Like, no, every time somebody talks about Meltzer from any angle, from any public, anything, it's never good. No one ever has anything good to say about him, ever.
Yeah, except for Dave Meltzer. All right, so it was Easter, and here's Bobby Heaton making Gene Okerlund look like the Easter Bunny. Speaking of Bobby and Gorilla, right in the external occipital protuberance.
The occipital protuberance.
God. Oh, missing some Bobby right now. Coco Beware, his mom's first name was Tupper.
Nah.
God. How to be Bret Hart. Wear sunglasses, use sharpshooter, love Canada, dislike Bill Goldberg. And Bret, apparently... Bread was his Starbucks given name.
I always say this. I met him in 1995, and he looked like that then, except his hair was darker. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Here's the king in his castle.
I like how he's using the dog as an ottoman.
Right? Yep. And, you know, if you didn't think that that man was a narcissist, holy shit. That
painting, holy fuck.
God. Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston. All right. Paul Heyman, sure.
Paul Heyman.
Kevin Owens, okay.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes, a trucker. I believe he would make a trucker too. I want to see him in the remake of Over the Top.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta remember he's a grandson of a plumber, so. How about the cast of Harry Potter hitting the gym?
Jesus Christ. Ronald Weasley, Hermione is fine, but Ronald Weasley scares me more than Harry Potter. Like, Harry Potter, you just want to stay away from him, let the roids wear off. Weasley, though, looks like he's going to do some shit that you won't ever forget.
Yep. The Christmas Major of Sting.
What the fuck is this?
It's a Christmas Major of Sting.
And why is his head on an actual Sting figure? What is that one? If somebody took his head, and that's like the Rocks figure from that's the Rocks action figure from that fucking stupid movie he did.
The Scorpion King?
Yeah, the Scorpion King with Sting's head on it. What the fuck?
I don't know. I just see these pictures. I don't make them.
Yeah, I love this.
At his wedding.
By the way, I love the hair plug insult thrown his way.
Yeah.
From Kenny Omega. Yep. That was great.
When your girlfriend is going to give you your birthday present, I hope it's LJN. That's an old wrestling toy joke right there. Yeah. Okay, here we're going to play a little game. All right, Rob.
Ooh.
Okay, ready? Marry, kill threesome. Okay, so who would you marry, who would you kill, and which two would you have in the threesome?
All right. I think I would kill Roxanne Perez because there's just something about her. There's just some like an annoying attitude there that I think would drive me crazy after a while. And she's got like half gum smile and half normal smile, which fucks my head up. And who else? Who am I marrying?
Yeah.
Thea Hale. She's okay. Theatrical, and I like that shit. The Joe Henry shit that they did, all that. She's theatrical, and that's right up my alley.
Well, that leaves your threesome with Jada Parker and Sol Ruka.
Yeah, fine. You know what? Yeah. All right. Do I still get to fuck Theo Hall too?
Well, you're married to her, so okay, probably yeah. Not.
Gotta
remember it's a marriage, so
yeah. So that means I'm fucking Sol Ruka and Jada Parker, and then I'm doing sketches with her, with Thea.
Yeah.
And Roxanne Perez is under the ring. All right.
The question is, did you fuck Roxanne Perez too before you killed her?
Oh, God. Well, next. This is the kind of shit that's going to get me canceled 20 years from now when I want to run for Congress at 65.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Just classic Mandy. All Mandy all the time, I'm telling you. And Liv Morgan when she used to work at Hooters, dude. Look at that. That is just perfection. And since we're digressing in age here, this one's just for you, Rob.
What the fuck is that?
You know who that is?
Is that Bailey?
No.
Wait a minute now.
Nope. Think. So that rocker shirt is probably circa 1989.
Okay. No,
88, 89. Yeah, probably 89.
Oh, wait. Is that Stephanie McMahon?
That is Stephanie McMahon.
It took me a second to face.
As a model in the WWE catalog.
Yeah, because that smug smirk on her face. That she's got the smirk.
Yeah.
She is her dad. And you know, the other one is more like the mom, but she is exactly like her dad. She's basically her dad's face with fake tits.
Hey,
like,
well,
give Vince estrogen and put some fake tits on there and you get Stephanie.
Or just have Vince reach out to, good old Christine Ohm's husband. And
oh, my God. We didn't even go there. I didn't even. Like, hasn't she been humiliated enough? I'm like, no.
And finally, of course, this went down recently here. Bert and Ernie and Tony Khan having a Coke fest. And of course, afterwards, that led to this tragic moment when Bert turned on Ernie.
Ernie Jannetty. Oh my God.
Oh man. Okay. So there's a little thing that you post
now. There's two things going
sit here.
On. This
well, we got this thing that I thought was big news.
Yeah, on the 15th, will be my birthday party. You'll get a chance to roast myself and Donald Trump, which will be fucking great. And tomorrow we've got a show. Tomorrow is going to be at the Vintage Cocktail Lounge, 1227 South Main Street.
I'm sorry.
Vintage Cock. Yeah, no, the Vintage, because seriously, 1227 South Main Street tomorrow. Doors open at 8. Vintage Cocktail Lounge on South Main Street in Las Vegas. Headliner is going to be Amir for the Vegas or the Vintage Comedy Showcase. And that is going to be, again, doors open at 8. You can go on Eventbrite and look it up. It's a $10 cover, but that gets you a drink at the door and get in there, $10 cover at the door, and you get a drink and you get to see some of the best comics in the city perform.
Do I have to do the drink at the door?
Like, you can.
Do I have to drink it at the door?
Just chug it. right at the door. They want you drunk when you get in. As soon as you get in, they want to get you drunk right away.
So, like, man, the comics are so bad. We need to get them, like, drink at the door.
Hold on. I'm getting a signal. Excuse me. These are the best comics. I don't know what the fuck your problem is. Get this guy the fuck out of here, okay? I am going to have them drop so many. You know what? I'm going to take that rescued F-15 pilot and have him fly over there and kick your fucking ass, okay, Michaels? Don't you fucking do that again. Titties.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That is on the Howard Stern show. There was a point where he was supposed to say cities, and he goes, titties! And they have that as a regular drop on the Howard Stern show. Trump saying titties.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised what comes out of his mouth, period, nowadays. Oh.
I signed the autograph, and this is going to be worth a lot of money. You could take this autograph and sell it on eBay. You know, Biden did the auto pen. These are fucking 5-year-olds. They don't know what a fucking auto pen is. He did the auto pen. So sad. I'm doing it.
Let's put aside the auto pen. All right. Let's put aside the auto pen and just go, they don't know who Joe Biden is. Like, half of them were probably like 2 and 3 when Joe Biden was in office, man. It's just like, what?
Oh, man. My favorite number is right now 25. My favorite number right now is 25. So hopefully that number will get used soon. But then again, fuck it. Hopefully the number gets used soon. I don't want to die and find out they buried me in a casket with a pinstripe suit and a blonde wig on and a red tie. Dig me up and resurrect me, and then I find myself on charges before the Hague or some shit in some dystopian future.
Dystopian future? No. Next Friday.
We're there right now.
Next Friday.
Yeah, I know. All right. Just
wait until... You saw Cabaret, right? Just wait until the fucking stormtroopers ice kick in the fucking door to the comedy club. They're not here for the fucking $10 drink at the door, man.
Excuse me. Yeah, come with me. What's this about? Don't worry about it, sir. National security.
But the ice officers are Obama. They're all Obama clones, in Star Wars.
It's like Family Guy. Like, Seth MacFarlane is Brian. And he's like, I don't really have to do anything for that. It's just me. It's basically just me. Obama's like 3 shades away from me.
I'm not going to be able to watch fucking the Clone Wars the same without thinking that every clone trooper is an Obama clone.
I'm looking for a droid. And I was told to get this droid. These aren't the droids that I was looking for. We're going to build a future where we can liberate every planet from the scourge of the rebellion. And what's my name? My name is VF-42. That's right, VF-42.
Oh, man. Well, as Steve would say, thank everyone for tuning in and joining us. And, of course, thank you for your service to all you seamen out there who have serviced us with your... I think that's what he says, right?
Yeah. And then after that, he talks about his pee-pee.
That's right.
Rep Sports. Use the code Vegas and save 10%. That's REPP Sports.
That's right.
That's right. We're servicing PPs, and you get 10%.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
And then we go, after we service the PPs, we go, did everybody have a good time? They held back.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Turn up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Buccellari dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.